السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، مبير الظالمين، رحمة للعالمين، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن، إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيلي وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. صلاة على محمد وآل محمد. I've been asked to say a few words to the youth here who will be, inshallah, addressing the community in the month of Muharram. However, of course, with the ulama present, is with their permission, of course, that I begin. I'll be very short and very brief, just a few reminders for all of you and for myself as well. First of all, we always turn to the Quran for guidance, and we ask the Quran to help us in every aspect of our lives. In this workshop, for those who are the Zakirins of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we have to understand. We have to understand what the Quran is guiding us towards when it says to call people towards the path with wisdom and good arguments. And then the Quran says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, to discuss with them, to debate with them, to sit down with them in good conduct. It's important for us to understand that in this topic of Islah of the Ummah, reform within the community, a couple of points I want to make and then we'll wrap up. First of all, if you are going to be a person who will discuss these topics, it's important that you have two very important notions in mind. When Ayatollah Khamenei was recently in Qom and he addressed the Tulab there of the Hawza, he talked about the importance of Vakshanasi, number one. He said it's important that we, as individuals who are out there speaking to the masses, we understand what's happening right now in the Ummah. We are someone who's Vakshanas. We are aware of what's happening right now in the Muslim world, not only here within our four walls, but on a global scale as well, to understand the movements of the Muslim Ummah, why are certain things happening to us, and what is our reaction towards it. And so somebody who is aware socially, economically, and politically, the one trait that he over and over again for the past year, Ayatollah Khamenei has been talking about, is basirat, this idea of insight. Being somebody who is insightful. Somebody who is able to look at the plots of the enemy and understand what it is that they're trying to achieve. A lot of our youth today are misguided. They're confused. They have no idea how Islam can be challenged by such a system here that apparently delivers the truth to us. The media, the school system, our job, whatever the case may be, we have to have this chishme basirat inside of us to be able to look past the appearance and into the actual, as they say, the belly of the beast, to understand why they're doing what they're doing. The example I often give to a lot of my youth in the classes is this Quran burning thing that happened in Florida a few months ago. This community in Florida, if you've read about them, they're a small town in Florida of about 30 people. And this pastor, if you ever heard him in an interview, you know that he's a little bit loose up there. He's not all there. And so here you have this individual who is not all there in terms of his intelligence, and you have a very small community. If he was to burn the Quran quietly, you and I wouldn't even hear about it. But the fact that it made front page news and discussion every single day, and then it didn't even end up happening, you have to ask yourself how and why did this piece of news in some small town in Florida make front page news on CNN or BBC or the World News. What was their motive behind it? I don't think he ever had any intention of burning the Quran. I think the idea was for him to present this to the masses, to create hate for the Muslims. But our youth, if you don't have basirat, you're not able to make that connection between the two. And there's several examples about that. So first thing is, if you're going to preach to the masses, you yourself have to be vatshinas. You have to be able to be aware of what's happening in the ummah politically, socially, economically. Understand the state of the Muslims here in this part of the world. Understand the state of the youth, let's say, in schools and in workplaces, what they're dealing with, and how the enemies right now are plotting against Islam. The second one is extremes. We have, since day number one, the Ahlul Bayt has taught us moderation, 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 in everything and anything that we do. Today, in this day and age, as we get 1 month away from Ayyam al-Azhar for the month of Muharram, this idea of these new bid'ats starting, these new innovations starting, they usually come about in the first 10 days of Muharram. As muballighin, as zakirin, as individuals who are on the member, we have a responsibility to call these innovations out, remove them from our society, and preach moderation when it comes to even the grief of Imam Hussein. Because right now there's two extremes right now in our communities. When I go to the U.S. and travel, I have a lot of youth come to me and ask me, Asr Bhai, why do we cry for Imam Hussein? Why do we beat our chests? Why do we shed our own blood? When Imam Hussein himself, on the night before Ashura, was in a sense of contentment. He was praying. He was in dua. He was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our response to that is what? That we cry, we beat our chest, and we slice our back, etc., etc. So they simply don't want to accept the emotional aspect of Azadari. They want to present it as an intellectual ideology. And keep Imam Hussein as an intellectual revolution. That's one extreme that we have to remove. The other extreme, of course, is that it's not an intellectual ideology, it's a very emotional ideology. Nothing but tears, nothing but beating your chest. If you don't cry, you don't love Imam Hussein. If your shirt isn't off, you don't love Imam Hussein. If you're not in front of the Zadi slicing your back, you don't love Imam Hussein. That one extreme has to be dealt with. This one extreme also has to be dealt with. Because we know that we have in countless traditions, ulama are already here, countless traditions about one of the signs of the softness of the heart of a mu'min are the tears that flow down his face. In fact, the connection we have between Imam Hussein and Imam Zamana alayhi wasalam, salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, is this concept that the tears of Imam Hussein allow our heart to be softened. And in that state of softness then, we move towards the islah of ourselves and regaining that momentum and that motivation to now prepare for the arrival of the Imam of our time. If those tears do not exist, then our heart begins to harden. And we've seen individuals who have a hardened heart due to the excessiveness of sins, they can't even squeeze one tear out of them. And that's the one first alamat, that you don't have a heart that's ready to be reformed. When Mawla Ali is talking to Imam Hassan and saying, look, you have inside of you a heart that's uncultivated, and whatever you plant in it, that's what's going to grow. And he goes on to say, to take my advice before that ground hardens. How is that ground hardening inside of us? The hardening of that land itself is delivered to us, that we have to do everything in our power to make sure that land is always softened. And the softening of that land we get from the days of Azadari of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And so this idea of removing the emotional aspect from Azadari, we don't accept that. In fact, Shaykh Abbas Qumi, rahmatullah alayhi, Nafs al-Mahmum, in the second or third part, has 40 traditions on the merits of the tears of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Right? I mean, all of these hadiths about if you even cry and your tear is the size of a fly of a mosquito, that size of your tear is enough to wipe out your sins that you've already committed and ones that you're going to commit. The size of a wing of a mosquito. So there is azamat and ahmiyat, and there is power in these tears. removing that from Imam Hussein al-Zardari is not what we're about. However, in that same breath, we cannot be individuals who promote this thinking that as long as I cry for Imam Hussein, my Jannat is wajib for me. People come for the first 10 days to get the stamp on the passport that I am Jannati, and they leave after Ashura. We don't see them until next year. This bid'ah, this innovation, is now rapidly growing. Growing here as well in Toronto. So we have a responsibility now to present a very moderate view of Imam Hussein's Azadari. Yes, Imam Hussein's mission was intellectual. Imam Hussein's mission was also emotional. We cannot remove either one, or we cannot take one and run with it and avoid the other. Both of them together allows us to understand the true mission of Karbala. One salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Just talking about this emotional aspect, how individuals question the system of crying for Imam Hussein. If we can summarize the mission of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam in his life post Ashura, you can say easily that Imam Sajjad's mission was to make sure that the Ummah did not forget the sacrifice of his father and his family in Karbala. He would attend a happy occasion, he would make sure the dhikr of Imam Hussein was there. He'd pass by an animal being sacrificed, he'd make sure the dhikr of Imam Hussein was there. He would cry and cry to the point where people say, that's enough already. It's been years after your father passed away. But he made sure the establishment of the emotional aspect of Karbala was there. We come to our present Imam in Ziyat al-Nahiyah, and I just want to read a small portion from the Ziyat in English because I don't have any time left. Talking about the emotional aspect of Karbala. We cannot remove that from this mission. He says, this is the Imam now, talking to Imam Hussein. It's a very beautiful piece here. He says, Salam of the One. This is now him giving salam to Imam Hussein. Who, if he had been present with you in Karbala, he would have thrown himself upon the flood of the swords and sacrificed his last drop of blood for you. And he would have participated with eagerness in jihad, in your presence, and he would have helped you against your enemies. Sacrifice for you his soul and his body, his property and his children. The Imam is talking to Imam Hussein. Even his soul would have been sacrificed for your purified soul. And his family would have sacrificed themselves for your purified family. Since I have been pushed behind by the passage of time and being prevented from helping you by fate, I could not fight those who had fought you. And since I had not been able to face your enemies, I will continue, he says, to weep morning and evening for you with tears of blood. The Imam of our time is addressing Imam Hussein. We attempt to remove the emotional aspect of Karbala. We think that Imam Hussein was intellectual revolution, and Imam Zain is teaching us something else. So let's try to remove these innovations that we don't need emotion when it comes to commemorating Imam Hussein's shahadat. The other extreme, of course, is all we need is emotion. That we should not discuss anything about the present time, about the present Yazid, about the present Ummah. Just talk about Karbala. Just read Masaib for me. All I want to do is cry. That's not what Imam Hussein's mission was all about at all. This is where you now bring into the intellectual aspect. Where now we understand that Imam Hussein's mission, anything our Ahlul Bayt did, was never for that time alone. It was always, always guides for all of the time, across all of the periods of time. So we have to understand that Imam Hussein's mission was, number one, it was emotional. When he's running after Ali Akbar, after giving ijazah, on the day of Ashura, and Ali Akbar was asking, Baba, you gave me permission. He then says, if only you were sahib ulad the way I am. If only you had a son like I have a son in you. That's not emotion, that's emotion, of course it is. And we try to remove that from the commemoration of these days, it's not possible. At the same time though, we have to use these 10 days to lift ourselves towards understanding who the Yazid of our time is today, and who us, as followers of Hussein, what our duty is today. One salat bi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So these two extremes, as people who are on the member, people who are addressing the majalises, we have to address these two extremes. You have to present Karbala as an emotional revolution, as an intellectual revolution as well. You have to make sure you understand and make people realize that it is this avenue of grief that softens your heart, allows that heart now to reform itself for the arrival of the Imam of your time, at the same time understanding what to do when a zalim is in front of you. We don't bow down in front of the zalimin. Imam Hussein made it very clear, someone like me does not bow down to someone like you. It's a message for us today. Who is a Yazid of our time today? And who is a Hussein of our time today? These 10 days we have to recognize this. It's up to you now to remind the masses. This is not just about grief. This is about awakening. All throughout history, Imam Hussein's ziyarat has always been difficult. Always been difficult to visit Karbala. It is today, it was back in the time. There was never a moment where you felt like there was no threat on your life. Even today, all of you, mashallah, have gone. Some of you have gone at least. You go, that's fine. But in the back of your head, you think maybe a bomb blast here, a problem here. There was never sukoon in Imam Hussein's ziyarat. Why do you think that is? Do you not believe for a moment that the dushman has realized the power in this ziyarat? The enemy has realized the power in Imam Hussein? Have you and I, as zakirin and muballighin, is the question. And we have to present that to the masses. Because the enemy has already understood that we can keep these people away from these 10 days and simply let them cry in the corner. I have no problem with that. But the moment they start to have this inner revolution, this awakening, where they open up their eyes of insight and they become vakshanas, then the enemies start to tremble in their boots. Then they have a problem with us. If you cry, if you beat your chest, doesn't affect me. But if for a moment you have this inner revolution, this inqalabi method inside of you, at that moment then, you've made the enemy a little bit weary of who you are. And as Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi always says, that the moment shaitan, whether it's shaitan Iblis or shaitan of the time, or shaitan al-akbar, it doesn't matter which shaitan it is. If they realize that you are a blip on their radar, you've done something right. Such a beautiful statement. The moment shaitan has recognized you to be a block on his path, you are treading the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that's exactly what we're trying to do for the first 10 days of Muharram. A lot of you will have individuals who only come for 3 days of the 10, for 1 day of the 10. Your responsibility at that moment is high. You'll see people you won't see all year round. At that moment, it is your responsibility to grab them and send that message of the inqilab of Imam Hussein through emotion and through intellect, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to understand the mission of Imam Hussein, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so much bloodshed, tyranny, and injustice in the world. The only solution that we see is the coming of the 12th Imam. We ask you, dear Allah, please hasten that reappearance. Allow us to be the companions beside him in his mission, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.